And we are live. Hey, everybody. Great to have you on with us today. We're so excited to be with you today. And without any further ado, I'm going to just get my my good partner on with us, and let's get right into the show. We'll introduce our special guest today. One of the best vets and one of the best people I know, Dr. Ian Billinghurst.
Thank
Hello,
you,
sir.
for that
It's all
wonderful
true.
introduction.
It's all true. It's all true. You guys are so humble on over the pond and down under. I know it's painful for you to hear something nice about yourself, but it's good. You could take it. So we're both.
I'm married.
Well, so is were you saying that this is the only compliment you get is from me?
Exactly.
Right. Well, I'm so happy we're here today because our guest today is Angela Ardolino, and Angela is a medicinal cannabis expert, which is so valuable to have when you have a young dog that has a condition, an illness, a disease, and especially older dogs. Boy, the quality of life, that's what we're here for. We're all about, yes, we're about longevity, but we're about the quality of your dog's life and the health span of your dog. And boy, cannabis is a, and CBD, the counterpart, is a great tool to help your dog achieve that in lots of conditions. We're going to talk specifically about cannabis and CBD with regards to the gut, and we might even get into some mushrooms here. So, Ian, are you ready for that?
I'm here to learn, Rob, because this is an area of, well, like most things in my life, I've got complete ignorance. I'm kind of focused on nutrition as food, but these other things, particularly cannabis, mushrooms, I'm absolutely fascinated and waiting to hear what wisdom Angela has for us. So looking forward to this.
That's great. Well, without further ado, let's welcome Angela Ardolino.
Hello.
Hi, Angela.
How
How
are
are
you?
you?
Good morning, Angela. Lovely to see you.
Hello. Lovely to see you. You can imagine how thrilled I am that I am doing something where I get to teach you something is amazing to me. To be able to like teach my heroes something new about a system that we all have that nobody even has been taught about. I mean, I can't believe it. I would have never guessed it. So I'm thrilled to be here and tell you everything about my favorite plant slash adaptogen on earth, the cannabis plant.
We are just all ears. I want to know about this cannabinoid system. I have to think
That's
about how to
very
pronounce
nice.
that.
Good.
So, do we start there? I have no idea. Where do we start?
Let's start there.
The endocannabinoid system. Well, what I
Endocannabinoid.
endocannabinoid system. So it is a system that all animals have. So it's not just us. And it is a system that exists throughout our body and is in control of all of our other systems. And it is the master regulatory. It is what gets us back to homeostasis. So it is a system that has receptors that are throughout our entire body. And today, I know we were going to talk specifically about the gut, but in the gut and the GI tract specifically, it is they've actually come up with a term called the endocannabinoid ohm because the ENS and the ECS are so overlap so much and have so many receptors. And the endocannabinoid system is responsible for modulating the ENS. They have literally come up with an entire other term about it, which hopefully soon everybody who is interested in how the gut works will know and start using this term. So it is
Angela,
very important in the gut.
can I interrupt you there? Is it called the endocannabinoid system because it was discovered via cannabis and the chemicals within cannabis. Is that why it's called the endocannabinoid system?
I don't think so. It just happens to be that we produce something called endocannabinoids, and that cannabis is, I will have to check that. I don't think so. But I may be wrong. I'll have to check that fact. But we produce endocannabinoids, 2-AG and AEG. And when we have an endocannabinoid deficiency, which has already been proven to be directly associated with IBS, we now have this plant in nature that produces phytocannabinoids that literally, when we take them, fills those deficiencies in our endocannabinoid system, which then helps with whatever system is off. That's why it seems like it helps so many things, because it's literally interacting with our master system in our bodies.
So is it called, is it considered an adaptogen?
So because we haven't been able to study it and research it the way that you have been able to do with other adaptogens, it is up for debate. Okay. I call it the queen of all adaptogens. I have never seen, like, I've seen cannabis do stuff, and then I've watched cannabis with mushrooms and frankincense or turmeric be so powerful. It is unbelievable. So I absolutely believe that it is the queen of adaptogens.
That's great.
Are these chemicals only available from cannabis?
No.
Or do other plants produce them?
Other plants produce them, absolutely. So cannabis shares a lot of terpenes and flavonoids that a lot of other plants and medicinal plants have. So some of my favorite stories when I was at the University of Vermont School of Medicine's program for cannabis was, you know, sharing how some terpenes have different interactions. So, for instance, if you were to go to a dispensary and take some cannabis, and whether you smoke it or take it in a dropper or eat it or vape it, and you get way too high, you literally can go suck on a lemon or eat some mango, because they share some terpenes with cannabis that are known to dampen the effects of THC. So you literally can bring your high down by taking them. And it's like limonene and myrcene that are very popular in other medicinal plants.
So yeah. What I'm hearing here is that we have a system of receptors throughout our body that have been there from the beginning because of our interaction with plants.
Exactly.
And what we now call medicinal herbs. But it would indicate that we have been in association with those particular, with the plant kingdom and these ones for a very long period of time, if they exactly. are so vital to our functioning.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So that really is important, isn't it? That tells us, and if they're in all animals, how
all of them, fish, plants, birds.
How important plants are, plant life, to all of us, our dogs, us. Fascinating.
And what's really cool is, you know, research, of course, was halted here, but, you know, like in Israel is the leader in research. And they've already, actually, I'm sorry, this piece of research that I'm going to talk about is from Italy. They've already discovered that dogs in particular have more receptors in their brain and central nervous system than we do. Don't know why, wow. They just do, which is why they are so sensitive to the medicine, and why a hemp product versus a marijuana product is so much better, because you need a lot less of the medicine to get the job done than we need to take. So that's wow. a pretty cool piece of information. And you have to ask yourself, why do they have those extra receptors? And we say it's because
why.
They were eating it.
Because obviously, as carnivores and scavengers, they have been eating the gut contents, the fermenting yep. gut contents of other animals for a very long period of time. And they've enjoyed it, including animal poo, because they're coprophagic, more than we have. So yes, I would expect that to be correct. And that puts the lie to anybody who says that dogs don't or shouldn't eat vegetables, because they are dead wrong.
They yep. are. So I don't know if you guys are ready to make a fermented hemp product, but I am.
Well, what's so cool, Angela, we're on our way because I pulled some. These aren't things I talk about every day, but our daily formula that we sell at Gussie's Gut, we have 12 terpenes in that, and we have 30 flavonoids.
Awesome.
And so, yeah. And so you can get these from a variety of plants. I think a lot of people think, you probably encounter this all the time, a lot of people think that you can just get this from the marijuana plant. Not so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That is really cool. I always love, when I see plants being used this way, instead of, you know, just an isolate of a compound found in a plant, because like cannabis and so many other plants, they have a whole bunch of compounds that make it do its job, whether it's help to bind to the receptor, whether like in cancer, we have 12 interacting signaling pathways, and cannabis has already been proven to interact with 8 of them. And it's not just the cannabinoids, it's the proteins and the terpenes and the flavonoids and all of them, whether they need to be together to do a job or they do their own separate job. And then you add medicinal mushrooms and some ashwagandha and astragalus root and turmeric, and you literally are interacting with all 12 of those pathways of cancer. And so what you may not know about me, I also have a rescue farm for over 15 years now, where I rescue farm animals and dogs with problems, usually senior and geriatric. So I've already been able, since 2016, been able to put cancer into remission 4 times. And I'm talking with dogs that were 14 years old, had been fed the worst diet, were on, you know, everything against them. And I was their last ditch effort and had nothing to lose. So I literally would take them off their prescription meds and bring them back to life, watch them. Oh my gosh, whether it's their mind, you know, whether they start looking at you and interacting, whether it's they start going up the steps again or start playing again. It's amazing. I have never encountered anything that could provide so much relief, whether it was from pain or stress, and at the same time not have any terrible side effects. You know, all of it's good. So I know it sounds like it does so many great things, but that's because it's interacting with the system.
Wow.
So maybe now's a good time to just switch a bit into what you know about mushrooms and how those can play a role with either cannabis or CBD.
My favorite thing about mushrooms is that they're both a functional food and a functional medicine. So that's what I think is so cool about them. You know, the chitin, the outer layer, is an insoluble fiber, and it's amazing when you eat it. But that's what you have to break down to get to the medicinal compounds. The worst thing that's happening in the pet industry is that there's literally like one person doing it right. most products, even in the human side, I don't even know what's going on there. They're just crushing up substrate with mycelium in it and barely any fruiting body and calling that, a mushroom, a medicinal mushroom product. We are dealing with the medicinal compounds in the mushrooms. So some of the best ones for the gut are lion's mane, chaga, reishi's always good. You look up colon cancer research and, you know, there is so much done on medicinal mushrooms and how it's helped. It is amazing for the gut. And they're the same thing. They're adaptogens. So when you put more than one, I would never just take one mushroom. I would take 3 or 4. I actually created mushroom tinctures for my sick dogs because I wanted to put a combination of, you know, if I'm dealing with a certain type of cancer, I had a Doberman with osteosarcoma, who I got to 26 months with no chemo, no radiation, nothing. Everything was holistic. We did a ketogenic diet. We did a combination of medicinal mushrooms, and her, because it was such an aggressive and painful cancer, I literally went to my medical marijuana dispensary and bought her THC. So I gave her 10 milligrams of THC every single night for 26 months, and she thrived. I got an amputation at 22 months, and that's what kind of sent her immune system and let the cancer take over. But to that point, we didn't even have spread. So at 22 months, no, it was 2 years. I'm getting my months mixed up, but it was between 22 months and 24 months. We did 8 diagnostic tests, and there was no sign of cancer. I literally sent it to all of the vets I knew and go, does this look like, what do you think's wrong with this dog? And they're like, oh, she's a little low in vitamin D. She's a little, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, this is Nina's blood test of having osteosarcoma for 24 months. So x-rays, it's all on my website. Not a single didn't move. Well, I can explain that to you because I can now know how cannabis works with these signaling pathways and how it stops the spread. It will not allow it. So it's amazing what it does for cancer and cannabis, mushrooms, and diet. Man, I'm like, bring it on. What can I solve next? Kind of thing.
Wow.
With no side effects. All good. So if anybody says that THC is dangerous for dogs or it'll kill a dog, or there is no reports ever of anyone ever dying from consuming THC, and we're talking about a pure product. If it's an edible that has xylitol and flavoring and God knows what, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a pure thing.
Yeah, no xylitol. I have
proof that that's not true. My Doberman, like, you know, by the end, you could barely tell she was high. We did it at night so she would sleep it off. And what's interesting is that when I first started giving it to her, she had urinary incontinence, so she'd pee her bed every night. And I was like, all right, I got to take care of this. This is a lot of pee. And so what I would do is I ended up giving her 42 milligrams of CBD every night with her THC, because CBD also dampens the effects of THC. And she never wet the bed again. So literally, wow. I had 1 week of pee in the bed. And from then on out, I had no issues at all. She would sleep through the night. She felt good. Best, you know, night's sleep ever you could possibly get. So it
wow. Was I have a friend that has a 12-year-old brown Labrador who's named Lola, who is you know, peeing, she's incontinent. And at some times, and this would be great for her. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it will work in that situation, but because she was doing that because of the drugs.
Okay.
But I'd be willing to let them try it and see if it does help.
Okay, great. Well, Angela, you have a ninja answering questions and been serving up links as you're talking about it on Facebook. Who is this
magic
person? Jeez.
It's Amy.
Amy. Thank you. Good for you. Amy's impressive. I mean, as you're talking, it's like these links are coming up for all, like, it's like blowing my mind.
Good. Well, we know that a lot of people, you know, there's a ton of research. Everyone questions it. People don't understand it. It's often named the wrong thing. It's so hard to find good all natural products, as you know, I'm sure you know.
Sure.
So we like to be able to back it up and say, here it is. Here's the research. Here's the story. Here's the protocol. Here's what we did, kind of thing. Because we're not given this choice, especially when you're giving a cancer diagnosis. And I lost my first dog at 7 years, which is 7 years old, which is what sent me down this crazy path. And I took her because she had diarrhea and was throwing up. And the only thing that you're offered 9 times out of 10, if you're in a conventional vet, is you're given metrozydol and steroids, and it just gets worse until she's dead. And I got an autopsy, and you know, I stopped counting at $15,000. And this was back a long time ago when I had no business doing that. So I was like, this will never happen again. Yeah. Where did I go wrong? Because I literally did. I lived across the street from the vet. It was brand new, state of the art. I was there all the time. So I am all about my holistics and those who continue to learn and figure out what helps and does no harm. and to get away from this standard of care that you have that. Okay, we do this, this, and this next. And more, everybody's an individual and different.
Yeah. Well, it really does make a difference who your healthcare team is when you need, you know, when you really need them. And it's not easy, people. I mean, you know, how do you find a great vet? You interview them. You just have to go through it, and you have to pay these, you know, consultation fees, get to know them, see what they're like, give them a try. Don't keep them if you know, you have a flag or a warning that goes off in your head. You know, definitely the thing that, you know, struck me with your 7-year-old is you've got any dog that at any age with a serious condition, cancer, especially, your biggest cost and your biggest enemy is time. And, right. You know, you don't have 6 months to figure out what you're going to do and who you're going to work with. So that's always the trouble I have with these, you know, inferior products or less, let's just say less quality products. And especially some of the sales tactics that some of them use, you know, you're getting people to spend their time and give their hope to a product that may just, it's just not there. So,
yeah, it really, as you know, I know we talked about this before, it pisses me off. If someone is going out and buying a broad spectrum product or an isolate product, or like on Amazon, it probably has no cannabis or hemp in it or CBD in it at all. And you're trying to help your dog with cancer or, you know, CCD or IVDD, it's not going to help. And that breaks my heart. So I hear it on a daily basis. I tried it. Is this a good brand? So it is hard because it's unregulated, just like mushrooms are. So you have to do your research.
Well,
I'm listening to all of this and I'm thinking what you're talking about is a normal part of physiology. Is this taught in medical school or veterinary school?
No, it is not.
That is beyond stupid, beyond understanding that if this is an integral part of the way we work, and veterinary medicine and human medicine is dependent on understanding these sort of things in order to deal with the body going wrong, this is atrocious that this information.
So, you know,
is
all
not
those things. Right. Oh, that's why I do what I do. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. I was offered Humira. Humira has already been linked to lymphoma. No, thank you. And someone said, have you ever tried cannabis? I tried it. I was like, I think I even tried hemp first. A tincture, and could not believe not only did it get rid of all my joint pain, but my stress, anxiety levels. I literally sold my business and threw myself in the industry. And then I was starting to meet moms who were controlling their kids' seizures, keeping their cancer away, one story after another story after. And I'm like, this is inhumane to keep this away from human beings and any animals because we have this system.
What I'm hearing here is the biggest obstacle to this being adapted is its name. Because it's associated with something that is a drug that causes problems. If this had another name, and that's why I ask about where it came from.
But this drug doesn't cause problems. This drug would take the place of most pharmaceuticals out there. That is why, that's the only problem that it will cause.
Well,
blow your mind a little bit more, not to interrupt you. Do you know who owns a patent on cannabis as an antioxidant and neuroprotectant? The United States government. So if that doesn't make you go,
so now you know have why. They got it to suppress it?
What'd you say? Yes, exactly.
See, we need to call this a different name. This whole system, because the fact that it's called endocannabinoid suggests that it's just something that reacts specifically with this so-called drug, this, and I know nothing, I don't really know a great deal about it. I once smoked a little bit when I was a lot younger and it didn't do anything for me. So that was the end of my knowledge. But, and I know it's being used a lot, but if this system had another name.
Well, I'm going to assume that the reason why cannabis is so special is because it's already been discovered to have 120 of these endocannabinoids.
Yes, that's
so
right.
The next plant that has any is like literally, I want to say a handful.
Yeah.
So you can't compare it to that, but it's sharing the terpenes, flavonoids, the fatty acids, the proteins, all of that. It shares a lot with other plants, adaptogens, and mushrooms.
So is there any book out there that talks about these very specific, has anybody written something definitive? Yeah, see,
best
and
book
that's
ever.
Cannabis, who wrote this?
A combination of people wrote it. So it takes, it's already outdated because there's already new research. We get research every day, which we do try to put, I put on my website, AngelaArlino.com, which I'm sure Amy will put up there. So we try to keep track of all the good animal research that happens out there. But yes, this is my favorite book where they took everything that's out there and put it in one. And I'll send you the link to it. It's amazing. I'll also send you my site where I have all the animal research that has been done. But yeah, it is like nonstop. That's why I was like, ooh, cool. Want to talk about the gut? Good. I'll just concentrate on the gut because I can literally take any system and tell you how it will help. It'll help.
In this book, does it deal specifically with clinical applications of these chemicals and cannabis and so on?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. So this is important because it's another, I mean, this is just another area, actual food, medicine that works. Ye gods, it's hard to believe that we have these professions because of the work of pharmacy, drugs and money.
Yep.
Absolutely ignores to the detriment of the health of animals worldwide and people.
Absolutely. So I speak at schools all the time, but I get invited by the holistic club and I come during their lunch hour and teach them about the endocannabinoid system. I don't get invited by the school. I get invited by them.
I hear you. And I was invited by the students and the head of the department or the head of the professor of veterinary medicine, the head of the whole shebang, banned the students from listening to me because I might influence them because I was making a product at the time. But on the doorway was to the clinic was the name, and on every coat they wore is the name of a particular company that produced pet food emblazoned everywhere. But because I had a small company that produced real food, I wasn't allowed
You're
to push
threat.
It. Yes.
Right. You're a threat.
So we see the same thing, but okay, can we now talk about, I'd love to talk to you about a whole heap of stuff, particularly cancer, because it's an interest
cool.
of mine.
Cool, love to. Cancer's my favorite.
But we need to, yes, it's a huge area. But we're talking about the gut today. So where do we start with the gut?
Well, I think that my favorite information is the fact that the endocannabinoid system overlaps the ANS system that I always forget how to say it. The enteric.
What do you mean by what's ANS?
ENS, the enteric nervous system, the second brain of the gut, our second brain, which lives in our gut. So so that's what that they literally have created a term because there's so much overlap in that the endocannabinoid system modulates the ENS so much. They literally have come up with another term where they're combining the endocannabinoid system and the ENS together. And that's where they were calling it the endocannabinoid dome, because it's so vital. And everything from slowing down digestion to, getting rid of inflammation is probably the biggest thing that it does. I don't know if you could share screen. I found an amazing, some amazing graphics that kind of show how these receptors are everywhere throughout the GI tract. So they're it's constantly making sure that everything is going right in the GI tract. So that's inflammation. It's what's number one. Literally, if I have a dog that has any type of GI issue, I can resolve it with herbs, diet, and the help of CBD, because I'm getting rid of inflammation throughout the whole entire body, which is the basis of all disease. So you pretty much are getting rid of inflammation, which means you're also getting rid of any pain associated with it, which is, you know, again, five pathways to pain. Cannabis interacts with all five of them. So especially THC, that's why it's so important to have that little bit of THC in there that's legal here in the US, the 0.03%, to make it a full spectrum product, because that's the cancer killer. That's the pain. Getting rid of the pain is that THC. Not dangerous. Very important.
And just since we're on this exact topic, is there a rule per 5-10 pounds of body weight that's a milligrams for pain? Just so we can, you know, people can quiz their vets. I mean, we want them to seek this out from the right vets, but at least they'll be armed with something, some knowledge to walk in and know if they've got a vet who knows what they're talking about.
Well, what the best thing is about this is that there's no LD50. You can't overdose and die from it. It's literally been proven. So you don't have to worry about that.
You'd just be wasting money.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So they recommend a half a milligram, starting at a half a milligram per kilogram. Oh. I'm a lot more generous in that because I have no fear now, because I've been practicing it since 2016 now and have watched everything. How you give too much, what happens? They just get sleepy. You know, they may throw up if they have an empty stomach. So nothing that's alarming or weird. One of our tinctures that is our strongest tinctures, we've had some really old dogs get static ataxia, which is them kind of getting high. But a lot of times I see these really old dogs that have, you know, they're permanently stiff and stuck in a spot, get one dose and literally run around like they hadn't been able to run around for years. It's another thing great for nausea and stimulating the appetite. Anytime you've got an old dog that, you know, I have a 16-year-old right now. My soul dog is 16. And which I like to mention, because my first dog that I lost at 7, which was a miniature schnauzer, this is my second miniature schnauzer. And now look what I've been able to do with real food. And
it's great.
We're on the same path here. Everything that you fight about, the shit that gets put in food and the chemicals and the crap, and it's not real. It's the same battle I have with pharmaceuticals, where you can't patent a plant. You can't patent something that exists in nature. What you have to do is you have to make that plant illegal, hard to get, hard to access, so that they don't know that it does all these things. And then figure out how to take one compound out of that plant, patent it, prove that it does whatever you say it does, and then make billions of dollars off of that. And we can't do that with cannabis.
I'm just laughing at Ian's face at everything you're saying. I mean, his reactions are killing me.
That's why I love talking to food people, because it's the same battle. It's the same nonsense where you're like, real food, real plants, nature. What was it? Why do we have these receptors that interact? Why is that, you know, we have all of these problems and issues with these synthetic ingredients and getting rid of them, and how they, you know, make our livers and kidneys work overtime instead of doing what they're supposed to do. So it's the same battle.
Do you know Theodosius Dobzhansky? He was the geneticist. He was Ukrainian / Russian. I think he died, I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. In the 19th, he really expanded on Darwin's theory of evolution. But he said nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution. And this is where you're at, and this is where I'm at with food. Those receptors there have evolved.
Yep.
Why have they evolved? Because they evolved in concert with a whole host of, well, they with plants in particular, and the whole plant, not just a part of it.
Right.
And so having evolved all the protective mechanisms that way, that's why there's modulators and everything within the plant to make it work, because they've been working together for a long, long time. I don't know where this
is. Isn't nature amazing?
It's so obvious. This is where we need to be. And yet we are so enmeshed in our science of extracting one compound and then analyzing it to death and doing trials and making money. We can't see the wood for the trees or whatever it is. We are so blind. I am still astounded. I'm a very simple person. And I look at things very simply.
So do I. To me, I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. Right. And of course, I wasn't always that way. There was a time in my life where I thought if I took a product off of a shelf or bought it online, that certainly it wasn't going to kill me or my pet. I'm not that naive anymore, and no, that's not the case. But it's hard. You've got to take control of your health and your pet's health so that you know right from wrong, and you can't trust just anything out there, because a lot of times it's based in greed. And like, people always ask me, what are your tips on picking a full spectrum hemp extract? So my biggest tip is to make sure that it has a certificate of analysis that shows you what is in the bottle that you're buying. And now, people are forging certificates of analysis and or forget about providing it. They don't know. They don't care. So they're just selling God knows what. And that's what breaks my heart, because they're thinking it's going to help their dog's cancer. And then they'll say that it didn't do anything. And then I'll go, well, it wasn't a full spectrum hemp extract. So.
Well, the other thing to go back, I'll just interject super quick. Something we talked about a while back, which is, Amazon and buying, I'm personally against buying any supplements on Amazon. Why? Unless I verified with the company that this is their page.
Yep.
And this is legit. Then I'll buy it.
Yep.
But there are so many counterfeits. Amazon can't keep up with it. Same as Walmart.com and any of these big sites. So some person, for all I know, could be using chemicals to extract THC or CBD, or put a drop of it in a bunch of olive oil or worse, and sell it as whatever. And it's only a matter of time till they get caught. Then they get shut down. They don't care. They're going to start to open up a new shop. So I would highly recommend you verify who you want to do business with, and who are the quality players in something, in a vertical, whether that be, a glucosamine chondroitin supplement, a THC or CBD or on. And make sure, if you want to buy it on Amazon so badly, just make sure that is their store and it's authorized.
Yeah, because people literally look up what is the hottest, best-selling thing and just create a site and put a label on something. It is crazy.
Yeah.
The products out there. There's literally, I would say, in the United States, 10 brands doing it right. And that's what's sad. And I have to change that number, because they get bought. And the moment they get bought, everything goes cheaper, gets changed. And it's crazy.
So,
Angela, where do we start to learn about mushrooms for the gut, particularly with regard, if you're dealing with specific conditions, which are individual for each animal? In this maze, where do we start?
Well, what I love is, someone will have an issue, and all I do is go look to see if we do have any papers or research on it. I'll ask my mushroom experts if they've heard something, or if I haven't already read it and documented it somewhere. I created a nifty little chart that I literally started to keep track of every piece of research, which mushroom did what, helped what. And then I just started narrowing them down. And one of the other things I did is that I couldn't find somewhere in the United States to source it. Most mushrooms, the majority of them, are manufactured and grown in China, which is fine. I just didn't want my mushrooms from China. I couldn't get some of them during COVID, and I had a dog with osteosarcoma, so that kind of freaked me out. So I started looking and searching for someone in the United States, which I found. And he's a mycoalchemist, and he's incredible, and he's taught me so much about mushrooms. And then between the two of us, because he makes an incredible human product, I'm like, all right, let's make a pet product. This is how we're going to do it. And it's been beautiful. And it's amazing because we released the mushroom product thinking that people were going to expect the same result as CBD, meaning if I don't feel good, if you come up to me in an event and you're feeling achy or whatever, I literally can put a dropper under your tongue and you're going to turn around and turn right back around and go, I can feel it already. And I'll be like, yeah, I know. Mushrooms. I thought, you know, people were going to expect that. I'm already getting incredible feedback from older dogs with breathing issues, CCD. And that's because lion's mane, for instance, which is one of my favorites, literally is I can always say the opposite of degenerative, regenerative. It literally regrows the telomeres. And it's really? The only thing that I know, a natural product that does that. So, but you can only get it if you're taking an extract of the lion's mane mushroom. You'll get it and you'll get some of it while if you eat it or cook it or whatever, but you want to make sure you're getting a medicinal extract out of that mushroom, which a lot of times you have to do more than one time. Some mushrooms you need to do an alcohol extraction because there are triterpenoids that you cannot get out unless you do, and then you get rid of the alcohol. But it's, again, combining them. So even taking a lion's mane, which has already been proven to do all kinds of things in the gut, and let's say you're taking it for CCD, it's going to be even more powerful if you add a reishi and a cordyceps to it, and then a bacopa mineri and an ashwagandha, which we also know are incredible for the brain. So now you've just made this killer synergistic tincture for the brain. So I love it. I love being able to figure out which one does one. And I do have a gut formula. I just haven't released it. I use it here at my farm all the time.
I'm listening to you talk. Surely the knowledge that you're talking about and the manufacture of groups of mushrooms, maybe you've extracted or done something with to refine them in some way that you're speaking about, which is way beyond my pay grade. That sounds like something that ought to be in the long run. You could actually make money out of it, like turn it into something that actually works. Surely we need to look at that.
Thank God we have Namex, and who makes real mushrooms, who is a huge supplier here. So I've learned a ton from them. They do extracts also, but they're in powder form.
Real mushrooms. That's what they're called.
Called real mushrooms. I hate saying this. I would stick with their human products because their pet products are less potent. So I've always used their human products.
I always say that, whatever.
I don't want to insult anybody. I just believe in them being super. I feel like in the whole pet industry, they find something that probably works on the human side, and all they do on the pet side is they cut it in half and go, okay, it's good for pets. And it's like, that's not always the case. You just made it less potent, and now I have to give three capsules instead of, you know, whatever it is.
All the time.
It's
more oxidized or more damaged.
Right. So a couple things. So the real mushrooms is who I used. They were the only trusted one that I could use. They're a powder. So a lot of my sick dogs, I was literally making mud in their food by giving, putting it in their food. And I was like, gosh, especially for Nina, it'd be so much easier if I could literally suck up what I needed into one dropper and put it in her mouth. And that's when it started. I never thought in a million years I would be a formulator, but I went out and could not find mushrooms grown in the United States on the wood or the, you know, whatever they're found in nature, because both mushrooms and hemp, again, have so much in common, are bioaccumulators. So they suck everything out of the air and ground. So if I'm going to say that mushrooms have all this incredible medicinal properties, I'm pretty sure that it's going to, it should be grown on what it's supposed to and not on grain or oats, which most products out there are grown on oats. So I wanted to grow where they were supposed
prebiotics.
Right, exactly. They're filled with prebiotics and probiotics and, you know, digestive.
They have to grow on their own prebiotics.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing. They also need to be outside, especially if they're sucking everything out of the air. So they get vitamin D when they're exposed to sun. So a lot of mushrooms are grown in dank rooms or in tents. So I just, again, I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to disrupt this and I'm going to create mushrooms the way that I want them created. So we work with a co-op of farmers that are in Oregon and Seattle, some in Northern California, that literally we put them, mycelate the logs or the substrate and put it out in the wild and let them grow. So we don't even take them from what's growing wild in the forest. We are putting them out there and growing them that way. So the problem with that is that I'm already in trouble. We're already selling out and I have to do everything. And even I love doing everything in small batches anyway, because I'm a control freak. So our CBD dog health products are all in small batches, but in the mushrooms, it's even smaller because it's literally like, oh my gosh, how do we keep this monster going? And nobody would, no big company would ever have any use for that because I can't make them on a mass scale, which is fine, which is good. But it's good stuff. I think that we're going to see more and more people. What I'm seeing is the you know, the Frenchies with the brachial issues and the breathing issues, having incredible response from that, sleeping through the night, not, you know, having a hacking attack in the middle of the night. So, and this is combining our hemp with these medicinal mushrooms and herbs. It is just that easy.
Well, this is another aspect of regenerative farming.
Yep.
There's so much we need to do with our world to heal it.
Right. And hemp within 6 years can clean up. Well, it did. It cleaned up Chernobyl. You can literally do it. You can't do anything with that hemp after it's done that. But the earth is then cleaned.
How do you dispose of the hemp that's cleaned up Chernobyl?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
You bury it very deep.
I was going to say, I have no idea what you do, but yeah. That's why it's good in the United States under the farm bill. It has to be grown organically because of that reason. But mushrooms, man, anybody can grow mushrooms. And mushrooms don't have as many problems of, you know, like getting old or, you know, having mold. It's mostly that nobody's making a true pure product. They're just, it's most, so if you were to do a test of beta-glucans on a oat, you know, a product that was growing on oats, it's going to show beta-glucans, but they're from the oats and they're completely different beta-glucans than the good ones you're getting from the mushrooms. So, well,
and I would even wonder if you have a dog hypothetically that's allergic to oats, let's say, and then they eat that mushroom.
Yep.
Then what do you have? You know,
well, that's a great point, Robin. What's worse is that they don't even let the mushroom grow. So the fruiting body is where you extract the medicinal compounds.
It's not going through its full phases.
Not even going through its full. It literally, it's called a premura. It just sticks up and they throw the whole thing, grind it up, put it in a packet and sell it to you as a mushroom product.
Well, Ian, I was just going to say, I think you and I should get a few acres here in Colorado. I know a few acres in Colorado where we could grow really high quality mushrooms.
I'm in.
Into it.
I know. I have a customer right here.
Good.
Angela, years ago, I studied agricultural science, and one of them was on mushroom. Well, it was on fungi. And I remember there were basidiomycetes and ascomycetes, and that's all I remember. And I think the basidiomycetes are the actual mushrooms and the ones that produce the fruiting bodies.
Right. I don't remember. Don't know.
You don't know? Go ahead. So I'm just thinking that you're talking about fruiting bodies. That's the important part, though, isn't it?
That's like cannabis.
That's where the goodies lie.
It's like the cannabis plant, that flower of the cannabis plant, the hemp plant, that's where all the medicinal oils and properties live. So that's why we extract from the flower only, which is the same concept with mushrooms. The fruiting body, and of course, it gets to a certain point with mushrooms where it has the most medicinal compounds in it. That's when you want to harvest it and extract. And when you extract, we're literally extracting those medicinal compounds and putting them right into organic coconut glycerin, which preserves it. Like, so, you know, a week from now, you're literally like, it's, you just extracted it. So to me, I'm like, why aren't there more products that are like out there that have these products in glycerin? Because putting alcohol in a dog's mouth, I've never seen them be able to get something completely out. And talk about hating it. And now it's completely sweet. It's a sugar alcohol, so it doesn't get absorbed. It's not like for a cancer dog. It's not feeding the cancer. It does not convert into sugar. So it's just these things I'm discovering. I'm like, how come we don't all know about this? But this is the hard way of doing things. You know, this is how you make a product like we make.
People who want to learn about the best way to administer mushrooms, cannabis, and what are the best, obviously need to contact your website. But I'm thinking that people who want to actually profit from all of this and do some good need to learn from somebody like you who actually knows this stuff. So is a lot of this stuff available on your website? Have you documented a lot of this stuff?
It is. And I also have a podcast, which you're coming on. But my site is my name, AngelaArdolino.com. And then CBD Dog Health is where you, both the sites, my website is all of the cases that I've had here at the farm, what I did, protocol, what I fed them, what I gave them, what happened, along with tons of information. I literally have my whole presentation on how cannabis works, and everything is on our YouTube channel. And then CBD Dog, both of them have research, all the research that's out there on mushrooms and cannabis, proving that it's safe and effective and does have anti-cancer, anti-tumor, incredible for the GI tract and helping it work right and rid it of inflammation. All that's on there, all those on the sites. I'm always available on email. I know the biggest thing I get is that people send me what they're using. Is it right? How much? Will this work? And that's probably the most difficult thing is finding a pure full spectrum hemp extract or product.
Has anybody fermented cannabis?
No, we're going to do it.
So you're going to use the fruiting bodies? Okay.
Yeah, so both... Well, I would love to know what happens to mushrooms when we ferment them, but cannabis, you know, grinding it up and you're getting, when you're doing raw cannabis, you're getting a whole set of acidic cannabinoids that you don't get in a tincture, or you get them, but you don't get them as much. And they, in their own right, have incredible properties. So CBG, CBDA, THCA, in a raw form. I've been wanting to make a product. I literally grind up flowers from my dispensary and feed them to my chickens, my dogs, everybody.
That's amazing. What one of the things as we get close to wrap up time, I wonder, where do you see CBD, THC, mushrooms playing a role in gut health? Like when would you use that therapeutically? We have people, you know, that by Gussie's gut to maintain gut health. We have people that are using an after antibiotic therapy to treat gut health. We have people that do Gussie's gut with probiotics. There's lots of tools. We have people doing kefir and, you know, or kefir, sorry, and all other kinds of fermented products for dogs. So where do those play a particular role in gut health?
Well, I'm learning that now with mushrooms, but with hemp, especially, I literally need to put it on a t-shirt. If you are a senior citizen, animal or human, you should be on a regular full spectrum hemp extract every single day. It just literally is supporting your immune system, modulates your immune system, whether it needs to calm it down or ramp it up. And it rids your entire body of inflammation, along with what it does for your stress and anxiety. So to me, every senior should be on one as like a daily vitamin, in my opinion. And everyone's dose is different because everyone's deficiencies are different. So depending on how many things that you're dealing with is how much you would determine that you take.
You spoke about neurodegeneration, dementia.
Mm-hmm. Amazing for dementia. Lion's mane, amazing for dementia. So one of my tinctures is a mushroom tincture, and it is my three favorite brain mushrooms, lion's mane, reishi, and cordyceps, which have all been proven to do all of that wonderful things, with Bacopa Maniri and ashwagandha, which are two adaptogenic herbs, which already have all kinds of research showing how amazing they are. And then CBD or hemp is a neuroprotectant. As I told you, the U.S. Yes. government has the patent on that. But yes, it is amazing for the brain. And combining those two, I have watched dementia. She was 18 when she died, but I had her for 2 years. And literally this dog standing in the corners, lost everything, and then gave her CBD. And within a week, I'm holding her and she's all of a sudden looking me in the eyes and giving me kisses. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, like things you would never expect. I didn't think I was ever going to know this dog because she was so, whether it was a pharmaceutical, you know, haze, and it got out of her body and whatever, whether it was inflammation in the brain and it brought that down. I watched this dog, you know, come back to life. But then I would lose my 18-year-olds to CCD. I had never experienced that before. I didn't know how dementia killed you. But you literally forget how to eat and drink. Wow. So that's why my Clarity Mushroom Tincture was created, because here I am putting cancer in remission and getting these old dogs getting up and walking again, and I lose them to CCD. So no more of that now. Now they're getting this. And my 16-year-old, like if I go a week without giving him his mushroom tincture, he like loses his appetite. He kind of like loses interest in eating. It's very interesting. And then, you know, giving him a dose of hemp and his mushrooms, and he becomes a little savage with his food.
Is this a gut effect, or you just, you know, are we talking about the gut brain working here, or do you not know? Or
absolutely, that's what it's doing. Yeah, that's what that's literally what the ENS system is responsible for, is that gut brain access. Right. It's known as the second brain, and that is mostly the endocannabinoid system. You know, all these weird, you know, things that nobody can solve, the IBDs, the IBSs, the fibromyalgia, the migraines, all of those are deficiencies of the endocannabinoid system. And that's why there's no anything that helps them or cures them. And that's why taking a cannabis tincture, it goes whoop, and you're like, I've never felt this before. I've heard that so many times. I have tried everything. I've tried everything on my dog. So it's constantly, to me, it is an incredible functional food and medicine, both hemp and mushrooms, because they do so much in both forms.
Wow.
This is great. I feel like we could probably do another 3 more hours, right, Ian?
much more. This lady has so much knowledge that
Well, I'd happy. I do. I have a whole vet training program. It would be my honor to show it and do that with you and go through it, because it is amazing to learn. It's amazing to learn that the first time we get our endocannabinoids are from breast milk or mother's breast milk. So imagine if a dog never, you know, is breastfed, or a human is never breastfed, you literally have an endocannabinoid deficiency at birth. So the dogs with the allergies that can't be resolved, or the gut issues that can't be resolved, it literally could be tremendously helped by taking a phytocannabinoid.
It sounds to me like the system needs waking up from the word go.
Yeah.
Which system? The endocannabinoid system?
Yes, yes.
From the mother's milk.
Yes, mother's exactly.
It's lying there. So it's not expressed even. So
true. I mean, it's
deficiency happening within the body. Like, the systems simply are not working.
Right.
And if you feed them then this awful processed food that's been cooked to death, that's got nothing of this nature in it, that has just been determined to have this many minerals, this many synthetic vitamins, this much protein destroyed in a terrible way, but nothing out of nature's chest of goodies.
No wonder. And then you go to the vet and you're given a steroid or something that suppresses your immune system instead of figuring out what the problem is in the first place. But they can't, because they didn't learn about diet and nutrition or the endocannabinoid system. So how the hell are they going to be able to help you unless they got training outside of school?
And Angela, this takes us back to, I think, around about the late 1800s, early 1900s, when doctors mainly prescribed herbs and things like that. And that was
traditional
banned.
Chinese medicine was the first to use cannabis on animals.
Okay. But I'm just thinking of all those herbal remedies that were used. Then they were banned in favor of pharmaceuticals, which could be standardized and so on. So,
Angela,
we need a return.
Oh, totally. I would love to. I would love to. Why don't I teach you everything and then we'll come back on and talk about it again?
Well, he will be on your podcast coming on soon. That's going to be on your YouTube channel, probably, right?
Yeah, we do it. We're on all the platforms for podcasts, and we also put it on YouTube. Yep.
Great. Real quick on the mother's milk. Are the cannabinoids in something like colostrum? Do we know?
That's an incredible question. I would probably say yes, especially because of what colostrum is and does. If I was on Jeopardy, I would totally be betting $1 million on yes, you would find it. Yeah. You can find it in my chicken's eggs. You know, you can literally find it anytime you're looking for it. So I've always been like, you know, I'm gonna create eggs with super high CBD in them, you know, from my chickens. But yeah,
every egg is $10.
Exactly. Why? Is this egg gonna get me high? No.
Yep. Let's end with that. There's a lot of stigma and a lot of jokes around stoners and THC and eating a lot. We've laughed at people who had, you know, they smoke marijuana. We've laughed at them for a long time. Mm-hmm. They're fun and, you know, they're really harmless, you know. But people don't, you know, there's a lot of people who don't want to feel out of control, and they probably also, those people will, I would guess, will tend to think that they don't want their dogs to be hallucinating and spacey and out of control and feeling, you know, that would be horrible for them. So why don't we speak to that? And then real quick, just tell us the difference between super quick CBD, THC difference.
You bet. So your dog is not going to hallucinate. That's not something that happens with cannabis. If they were to get high It is pretty much a million times better than an opioid or an NSAID high that you would get. They don't get sick. And if it's a medicine that you use over time, A, you can use CBD to dampen the effects, or it's not going to stay that way. So if, for instance, an old dog were to get a full dose, 42 milligrams of a full spectrum hemp extract, and they have a reaction to it, which is static ataxia, meaning they get a little high, maybe a little wobbly, every day you're going to give that to them, the effect's going to go down and down and down until you barely be able to see that they're high.
Okay.
And what I think is happening is those deficiencies are being filled up so that they don't react to it that way. But remember, they're more sensitive. As far as people talking about THC and getting high and it's bad rap, I take cannabis every single day with THC in it. And I run three very successful companies. I have a rescue farm. So this is what a pothead looks like when you use it as medicine. And it is a medicine. And just like any other drug or medicine, it can be it can be abused. But the good thing is that there's no harm to you. So you can't smoke too much marijuana and your heart stops. You can't smoke too much marijuana and your breathing stops because the receptors aren't there like opioid receptors are. So it has been demonized for a reason. And like I said, there is no reported case of anybody dying from consuming cannabis. I've seen dogs consume entire bags of weed and not have any problem. Where the problem comes in is when they're eating an edible or a gummy, which usually has artificial flavoring and sweeteners and ingredients that are really dangerous to the pet. But yeah, never a case. So it is completely safe, and compared, nobody knows what the pharmaceutical drugs do.
Yeah.
If you do get that little insert pamphlet with the drug, because oftentimes you don't, you're just given the drug and you have no idea what the side effects or the precautions are. But if you do get it or you don't, look it up online and you're going to see that it kills dogs, lots of them. But you're still given that your drug, and you're questioning whether an all-natural product is dangerous.
You know, we sure do have a lot to examine in our biases and where we get them, why we place so much trust on certain things and not on others. A lot of times it's misplaced. And if just examining them, if you get a chance to think about it, you go, yeah, well, why is it I trust NSAID so much, or, you know, whatever it is? And why is it I distrust something that's natural? And, sure.
I love that you said that, because it's usually not until the other stuff does us wrong that we start looking for alternatives. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be going to nature first. Dr. Trina Hazzah, she's an oncologist in Los Angeles.
She was
one of my heroes, lover. She was at the VCA, head of oncology. She now turns to cannabis first. She treats cancer with cannabis before anything else. And this is someone who, she admits it, thought more chemotherapy is better. So you have to realize that when you get a vet like this that learns and tries and is willing to research and use it and then totally changes what they do.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So
who
to me,
that person, Angela?
Dr. Trina Hazzah. I'll send you her email.
Yeah, we've heard her name several times on this podcast, and she's clearly a trailblazer in oncology.
Yep.
Imagine
a VCA that had cannabis, Chinese herbs. It was amazing. She like showed me her cabinet and she's like, they trust me this much. And I was like, holy cow, this is amazing. And it was in California, where California was the only state that said, okay, cannabis is completely legal. You can do whatever you want, except for veterinarians. What?
Yeah.
Someone wants to control it and make money off of it. That's literally what that boils down to, unfortunately.
Well, this is a conversation we could keep going forever, but we will keep to our time as close as we can here. we will continue this conversation on other podcasts we're going to do. We'll do a couple with you. And everybody, I'll just real briefly show you what I'm seeing in the comments if you're not able to look. I mean, there are a massive amount of articles that CBD Dog Health has. I mean, for dementia and CBD, you know, I realize you can't copy and paste these, and but my point is this. Go to cbddoghealth.com and Google, search, go in the search bar and find these articles. They all live there. And then where you can also find Angela is on her website, angelaartolino.com, and all social media. Go to both Angela Artolino on your social media. You have that. And then you also have the CBD Dog Health handle, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all over, right?
Yep. Thank you.
Wow.
And I'd love to experiment with you guys and create some fun, cool things with cannabis or mushrooms. I think that they're amazing. I think it's almost, I think that like there's certain mushrooms that I wouldn't do every single day. So I don't know if it would be a daily thing, but like maybe a supplemental to what you're doing with something that's a little more special. I would love to do that.
That's why we don't have mushrooms in our daily formula. Because it's just not something you need to have every single day. But we have big plans for mushrooms, and I really like what you're doing. And so we'll have to get our heads together on that.
Yay! So excited. Thank you for having me today. I love talking about cannabis and mushrooms, so I appreciate the time.
Thank you for sharing your knowledge. It's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
All right, Angela, we'll be talking soon. And thanks, everybody, for staying tuned in and your wonderful comments and your engagement. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.